Hi, Charles. I'm happy to have you on my show, Artists with a Purpose. Sure. I first want to ask you how you first came into the art world.
Well, my parents are artists. My father was a shoe designer in New York, and he was always painting and drawing at home. Kind of influenced my mother, who's a native of Finland, and she was also extremely creative and started sculpting and doing handcrafts and leather work and started participating in the outdoor art shows here in New York in the 70s, late 1970s. So I was always influenced by art because it was always around us, and that's how I sort of got into it. I always felt that I'm going to be an artist because my parents are artists, and they were doing very well with that, and I thought I could, you know, do well, and I thought I had a lot of creative ideas that I wanted to sort of explore.
And you had mentioned that the 3D art is whimsical, and that you love the idea of pop-up books, and sentimentality had attracted you to this particular medium. And
at first I was just doing whimsical artwork, and work that I just like to paint and draw with bright colors and do very, very detailed work. And then my mother was always buying pop-out books at garage sales and so forth, and my sister and I and brother loved them, and that's sort of the reason why I got into 3D art. I was really trying to create a pop-out book, and, you know, lo and behold, it became an art form.
And you'd also went to a lot of different types of dimensions, too, like the silk screening processes and all of that. With your art, did you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yes, later on, when I at first what I was doing is just making some prints of my existing paintings at a local printer, cutting and gluing them and making them 3D and showing them at local arts and crafts shows here in New York and some other places. And then I really wanted to make a more sophisticated print. I went to visual arts in New York, and I took illustration as a major, but I took one class of silk screening, and I thought that I'd like to make my own silk screen. So the process was just too involved for me, especially because my work is so detailed that I met a silk screen printer, and we collaborated together, and he would make my silk screen prints. We'd work together, and I'd pull the additions, and he was actually in New York, and then another one right after that in Boston. And once I started the silk screen process, the prints really had a beautiful look to them. They just, it was like magic. The bright colors, the detail that I was able to capture, and it just worked very well for the process of cutting and gluing paper and making them 3D.
Yeah, your work is just incredible. It's amazing. I love the areas that you do too, like New York, and you'll do the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty, but then you'll do other little details like a lot of color, but also the little mom and pop grocery stores and little restaurants and things like that. I'll see all these details. And I just think that's amazing because it's very, people remember that when they visit somewhere, too. They remember
some of those. Definitely. I really try to capture the essence of a place. So if I'm drawing New York City, I try to capture everything that's on that street, maybe not in the geographical location that it really exists in, but I try to have a little of this and that. So when the viewer is looking at the artwork, they really can identify with it, sometimes from a nostalgic view, where things that don't exist but did exist and they remember it on that street, or things that are sort of reminiscent of the area. And I do that with every city I paint now. In the beginning, it was just New York. And then as I started to visit other cities, I started to paint other cities and get galleries in those cities. And I would do the same thing, really try to capture the essence of the place and draw it as if I was a native.
I know, like with Atlantic City, for instance, because I live in Cape May, I just noticed the boats and the Miss America, the boardwalk, the Atlantic City boardwalk, and just all those little details that we just remember growing up with and everything. And it's and then you have these really cool farm, like Singapore, and then with Paris, you have like Paws for Paris and these cute dogs. It's really amazing.
Yeah, people really like the work. I find that a lot of people who are collecting my work are I call them world travelers. They tend to be people who are on planes, travel a lot, and love the work because they can really identify with each place that I paint. And people like to collect the different cities that I work on.
Yeah.
But I try to bring that attention to detail and whimsy to everything, whether I'm approaching any subject, whether it be sports, a specific city, a theme, possibly religion.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that.
Working in also in different employment thing, you know. For instance, law, I love doing things in a medical field and poking fun at that, and dentists, and, you know, whatever. Any theme is something that I love to draw. It's, you know, a lot of my friends who are artists just do French street scenes, or just paint nautical scenes, or just paint scenes of the beach or something. But I like to be challenged and draw all different themes.
Yeah, I had noticed the spirituality a lot when I was really viewing a lot of your art. You had a lot of Orthodox Jewish. It was very unique and interesting and magical, really, because there's so much history and culture and
exactly
with that. And I thought that was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah, that kind of started when I was going to visual arts in New York City, and I would take the bus down to the Lower East Side to go eat at inexpensive delis and so forth. So I started painting my favorite delis, and sort of stuck with me. You know, we see a lot of different types of people walking on the streets in their ethnicity in that particular area. So there was a lot of Orthodox Jews walking. I would paint them and put them in my pieces, and it was just, you know, I found it to be charming because it really relates to that specific place and gives it essence of that area.
Yeah.
And I would do that with Little Italy and, you know, draw, you know, scenes of old churches downtown or, you know, whatever. But it's sort of, that's what I try to do is really, you know, capture the feeling of the place, you know, whether it be a sports stadium or a street in New York.
Yeah, it's very meaningful to people, for sure. I wanted to ask, too, about the plane of the American Airlines. You were doing quite an extensive project with that. I just wasn't impressed with the magnificence.
That has been so cool.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how many people pass through that the new terminal at JFK that I meet at shows everywhere, wherever I am around the world, doing shows that they've seen it. It's just amazing, the outreach. I was just so happy to do that project, and there's 12 pieces hanging at the terminal of different sizes, and one of them is this huge 12-foot plane that American Airlines actually provided for me. It was made out of resin and plastic. They said, "What can you do with this?"
Oh,
I was like, "Well, you know," and I came up with a theme of every place that American Airlines flies to from New York, and I decided to paint it literally on the plane and then make the plane the pieces of the different cities literally coming off the plane. And for viewers who haven't seen my work, the best way to describe my work is like a pop-out book. They're actually layered and sticking off the canvas or sticking off the sculpture in 3D using special types of glue and glitter and Swarovski crystals, so it really has a lot of bling and fun to it. But the plane also has a base that moves at the base of it. So it almost looks like the plane is levitating with lighting above the clouds. And it's in this clear terminal right in the middle of two aisles, I should say, two gates and intersecting large areas of the terminal. So it really stands out, and it's really, I can't tell you every time I've gone to the terminal how many people are sitting and taking selfies and pictures, you know, around the plane. And then besides that, I also did this huge mural that goes down as you take the escalators down to the baggage claim. There's a 13 foot by, I don't know, 16 foot three-dimensional mural with mobiles of something. It's like a street day of New York welcoming people who are coming to New York, you know, like a welcoming 3D piece. It's welcome to New York, and yeah, it's, and it's lit with LED lighting. It's just incredible looking.
Yeah, and again, it just has all those details of it, just the intimate being in these places and the essence of that, you know.
Yeah, I think on that particular piece we used 12,000 Swarovski crystals on the piece. So when you come down and the lights are hitting it, it's like it's almost like you're blinded by the bling and the excitement of a street scene in New York with the Empire State. It's just incredible. I love the way it came out.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I also wanted to mention about the I wanted to get into a question about regarding music a little bit, because I know you had worked with guitars, and you'd reflected a lot of this type of art with guitars. And I started my show because of I really believe that the arts are very interconnected, the visual art, the music, the theater. It's just all interconnected so much. And especially with your artwork with, like, the Grammys, say, what is your part of your process to that? Do you come up with music that has affected you, or how, just what the process is behind that?
Well, I'm a big music fan, and as I'm creating artwork, I always have music going, and it's, you know, a part of my process. And when I was doing the Grammy Awards back in, I guess it was 2004, the first time I collaborated with them, they had these great guitars that were signed by different famous rock and roll people. I forget who at the time signed these guitars. They were going to be up for auction. So they asked me, can you do anything with them? And what I did was I decided that I've been playing around with through Super Bowl and through these other sporting events, I've been painting on plastics and making my helmets three-dimensional. So I thought, and I decided to try my hand at guitars. And so I just put all my favorite rock stars and pop stars on the guitar, painted it, and then repainted it, cut them out in 3D and stuck them on. Then I, the paper sort of was, because a guitar, if you actually want to play it, has to be strong and not bend the piece of paper. So I took them to a car painting place, and they shot them with car glaze, and they looked unbelievable, like they were painted on glass. And then we embellish them with Swarovski crystals. And you can actually take one of the guitars and play them if you wanted to. And they were all 3D. Yeah, I mean, you have to handle them carefully, but they get presented in a plexi case, and they really look beautiful. They're selling in art galleries around the world.
Yeah, I was really impressed with those too. And I guess it's just as far as like the Super Bowl, for instance. Did you want to talk a little bit about some of that, your process behind that? You started to a little bit, and I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, many years ago, I was working with the NFL and Major League Baseball to create and license some of my favorite teams here in New York. So I did the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, and the Jets. And to another. I showed them at some art galleries, and everyone really loved them, especially here in the New York area. And I started doing more teams of different areas where I had art galleries that were asking to take their teams. From that, the NFL asked me if I wanted to commemorate Super Bowl. This was about 16 years ago, and I was like, okay, what do I have to do? So they, you know, they sent me some helmets and so forth. They said, can you decorate them? We can use them for fundraisers and this and that. And I created my artwork depicting Super Bowl, because every year we know where Super Bowl is going to be, because it's ahead of time they let you know where the different city is going to be. So I was able to paint the city, paint the stadium in that city, and then at the last moment after the game, last game is played, and we find out who's in it, and I put two teams into the artwork, and they have been a real hit. And since then, I've been creating the official poster for the NFL and for Major League Baseball for all these events, and kind of taken off, and they've been really popular. People actually know, in some places, know me as a sports artist because I do so much sports art, but in essence, it's really not as big a piece of the collection as the cities is,
I was just going to say, it's all kind of interconnected, don't you think?
Yeah,
when you
definitely
do the cities,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's all intimate about, and I think that's why people love it so much. They can identify with it, and they feel like they're there.
Yeah.
Let's give them that feeling of that.
Yeah, people always say when they look at one of my Super Bowl pieces that they can feel, you know, that they're there in the stands looking at their favorite, you know, team that has finally made it just to the biggest game in sports, and they can smell the hot dogs in the stand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how, you know, I want them to feel, you know. I always put confetti in the sky and make it exciting, you know, especially if it's an outdoor stadium, you know, with planes flying by and fireworks, and I just, you know, make it seem like it's like the most important part of that part of the game, that essence of when it just happens, when, you know, the ball snapped and you can feel the excitement. That's what I want to accomplish.
And with that 3D whole way about that, it just pops everything to life, you know? In that
it does,
too,
and you know, I always tell people who haven't seen the artwork, you know, you can see my work in a book or online, but until you see it in life and you see the amount of work involved in each piece, because each one is hand cut out by hand, each piece, even though it's a limited edition, I mean, I have paintings that are one of a kind, but most people know me, my limited edition. When you look at a piece, you can see the endless hours, because there may be 1,000 to 2,000 pieces of paper that are cut out and raised in 3D and then embellished with glitter and Swarovski crystals and whatever, depending on the type of edition and theme it is. And the people are just amazed, you know, and they say, oh my God, you do it all yourself. And, you know, I try to tell them that in the beginning I did, but right now, because the amount of, you know, a day to a week's work of just cutting and gluing one piece, I have a lot of hands to help me now in New York at my studio. So I hire a lot of freelance artists to help me with cutting. They're all cut out with an X-Acto knife. So it allows me to really get my work out to the masses now, you know, because it's a worldwide market today.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, I wanted to ask, too, with the Stone Harbor Gallery, the Ocean Galleries. What
yes.
would people be expected to see at the Ocean Galleries, the exhibit?
Well, we're actually going to be showing a lot of new pieces that have never been seen. I'm bringing. We have Lufthansa trolleys, which are new. They're taken off the Lufthansa planes that were used as food carts. And I've collaborated with this German company to put my artwork on them for the celebration of Lufthansa. But we're also selling them and showing them with my artwork here in the States. And they make great, like, carts or storage stands, or they can be used in the kitchen for cutting boards. They're actually food carts that are, you know, high and have a door, and they've been refurbished and recycled and can be used as play boxes for kids and so forth. So we're showing those. They may have some of my brand new cell phone covers. besides that, like I said, a whole line of limited editions. One to note is Jerseylicious-ly, our Garden State, which is a piece that I created a couple of years ago, but I've actually redid the piece and added a lot more beaches, and it has Stone Harbor in it and Atlantic City and all those different places and all the beaches all the way down the coast. It's in the shape of New Jersey. And then I have also some helmets and batting helmets for teams from Philadelphia and New York, and a piece that I did on Delaware. So I've really tried to capture the whole area, and people that may be coming from wherever in that area would see pieces that would really excite them.
Wow. And what vision do you have for, like, future projects?
I'm working on a lot more hospital projects right now, and a couple of mobile units for the hospital, which you can have my artwork wrapped on it. Also, doing a lot of installational art, and it's a lot of things that are just in the process of happening now. But of course, I'm doing a lot of international shows, and I'm working on new paintings for that, and hopefully a new museum show that's going to be coming up in Florida. So I have so many different things. And I'm presently just finished artwork for the Rio Olympics. And I'll be down, my staff and I have a show of my artwork at the America House on Ipanema Beach, and we will have a display of my work this August, hand-painted surfboards.
Oh my
and
gosh.
You name it, I'm doing it. It's just, sometimes it's just like a blur. I'm constantly working on 10 different projects at the same time.
It's just so exciting. Yeah, I didn't even know, I was saying to Larry, I was just saying, you know, this person is so incredible. I don't even know where to begin asking him questions. There's just so much to cover. There's such a gamut of, I hope I covered everything. I don't even know if I did or not.
Yeah, but I have a great staff around me, and it allows me to do all these things because I have a lot of helping hands. So that's been very integral to be able to allow me to get a lot of projects done in so many different places.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice little area of New York too. I mean, not a little area, but it sounds like a real pretty area.
Yeah, my studio is the old Hanna-Barbera Terrytoon Studios, which is where Hanna and Barbera, the animation artists, started before they went to California. Uh-huh. They were here in Marichal working for a company called Terrytoon. Terrytoons made Heckle and Jekyll, Mighty Mouse, and so this is an historical building that I bought in downtown New Rochelle, which is about 20 minutes north of New York City. So it's a great area. We're a bedroom community. We do tours here. And I have two buildings now downtown.
It's where Dick Van Dyke lived.
Yes.
Larry just said
everybody said they know New Rochelle by Dick Van Dyke.
I didn't know that myself, so that's news to me.
In the TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
But New Rochelle is sort of a famous place for artists, I guess, because of its proximity to New York. Remington, the Western artist, actually had a studio here in New Rochelle and was not a Western artist, even though he created Western art. And Norman Rockwell, the artist, is from New Rochelle. And Leindecker, also another illustration artist. So many, because of the proximity to New York, came from New Rochelle.
Wow.
So it's a very art community.
Yeah, I would have loved to have come out last week, but oh well, next time. But I wanted to say thank you so much for this interview. I'm very excited about it, and I'm excited to have you come to Stone Harbor, and I know your artwork's going to be very popular.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I have, like I said, the last time I was at the farthest south I've been for a show in New Jersey is Atlantic City.
Oh.
So it'd be fun to get down there and to really hit a new group of people and show them my work. Because, like I said, my work has to be seen. It's a type of artwork that you can talk about it, show it online, look at it in a book. It looks flat, not dimensional. So until you see it, you realize, you know, that it's really literally coming off the paper or off the canvas in 3D everything. So it's something that has to be seen.
Well, both places, Stone Harbor and Cape May, where I live, they're very community-oriented. And I know your artwork really reach people because there's such strong communities there. And they remember all those little details, the little water ice place up the street that they always went to on the weekends and that type of thing. So
that's
what's great about it. But I can't thank you enough for this interview. I really appreciate
it.
And I'm looking forward to your
exhibit. And I hope to see you down there.
Yeah, I hope so too. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, take care, guys. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I hope you enjoyed that interview today. That was with Charles Fazzino, and a master 3D pop art. And he opens to the public on Friday, May 27, 2016. And it runs through Monday, May 30th, 2016, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, with all artwork on display available for acquisition. And also the gallery guests will have the opportunity to meet Charles Fazzino during receptions from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. on Saturday, and that's this coming Saturday, May 28th, and from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday, May 29th.